few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud
John Nemeth.
and David Lauer.
There goes my tail again. You know what? No, we're not depressed. Because how could you be depressed when you talk about something you love? How could you be? Well, you could be depressed if you talk about something you hate. But you know what? That's like us fucking rocking out, you know? Like Jack Black says in School of Rock, it's like just write about what pisses you off and we'll turn that into a rock song. That is the idea. Come up with topics that we want to get the bile out. But then there's everything in between, things we're on the fence about, things we're indifferent about or ambivalent about. And then we have mysteries. When we say that, though, it's just mysteries to us. We like to give ourselves curveballs to keep things lively and stuff in the relationship. So, but before we do any of that, though, we got to do the Daisha Fuse. It's a segment where we talk about old topics. Go ahead, John.
I think that's
Or
the
Dave.
opposite
Go
of what
ahead,
you
Dave.
said, but
Go ahead, Dave. Sorry, sorry.
okay. All right. So John, you had a topic, I believe, about physical books.
Yes.
Okay, good. So I bought my wife for a Christmas gift. I got her an Amazon Kindle, and she's a book reader. She reads tons of books. She loves to read. But she's never owned a Kindle. She only reads physical books. And in the last, I got her the Kindle on like Black Friday sale at Best Buy. So it was like, it didn't really save a whole lot of money, maybe $20 on it. But she absolutely loves this Kindle so much. And she's like, I can't believe I didn't do this sooner. She's like, this is my favorite thing ever. She just wants to sit and read on her Kindle. She absolutely loves it, and I kind of love it too because she's just like reading her books and like I'm watching football on the big
Leaving you the heck
screen.
alone.
Exactly. It's great.
Wait, what was
Getting
she
some
doing with
me
her physical
time.
book? What was she doing
Well,
with her physical book that bothered you?
nothing. Well, in the only time it really affects me is with physical books. If she's reading it in bed, she has to have a book light. And the book light, if she rolls over or has the book light that's attached to the book itself, it will be like a glaring light that will blind me. So then it's like I have to roll onto my left side and I can't ever turn my head in that direction. Otherwise, I'll get blinded. So with the Nook, you can just put it on like a low light setting. It's very like ambient light. So like I don't even notice that it's on. It's never going to wake me up or blind me in any way.
Sweet.
Yes.
I
Good to
don't read
see
enough.
more avid readers are seeing the light.
The warm or
The
the
low light.
low light.
The low ambient light.
I don't read enough to buy that because I've yet to fucking finish The Road. Is that what it is? I don't know. Like I'll read a couple of things, but I'm like, oh, God, I could be listening to podcasts or
You're
watching
like, oh,
movies
my
or
arm's
something.
getting sore from holding this heavy physical book.
Oh,
I can't
God.
keep reading. If
Oh,
only I had
okay.
an e-reader, I'd be done by now.
Yeah, I just don't have the attention span for reading books. Like, the only time I do it is like if I go on a camping trip and I have no cell phone reception and I'm out in the woods and there's no TV, then I'm like, okay, finally, all right, I'll read the book. There's nothing else I can read.
All right. Well, you know what? I say we get the actual show started. And it looks like I start this one. Well, what do you know? Let's talk about I hate this. This is my hate. This is, was originally called Wisconsin Has All the Serial Killers. But actually, that's not the case. Like, I kind of, you know, I had to do some research, but I'm like, no, they're all from here and stuff. Or so, you know, it's a terrible place. Like, I've lived here nearly my whole life. I think I was in Minnesota, or yeah, Minnesota for like almost a year. So apparently, I have some sort of pride in that. And, you know, when they're like, oh, Wisconsin, Cheese, beer, serial killers. My God damn it. Yeah, we do have a lot of those. And again, it's not that we all have, like, all serial killers come from this place. It's just that we have for sure the two most famous ones or infamous ones, you know, like who did the worst shit that inspired the most movies, Ed Gein and Jeffrey Dahmer. And we might have, like, I think the count was at least four others that, for my research, I'm like, oh shit, that's still a lot. And all the crimes are so goddamn grisly and gross. And I think maybe that's what it is. You know, not only did we have killers, but they were sick compared to others, it seems. So, yeah, what do you guys, and I already expressed before about like how I hate true crime. And of course, this is nothing but true crime. We're living in it in the same state. So yeah, what do you guys think about Wisconsin having serial killers, I guess? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that I kind of noticed a long time ago, even like before it was a meme. You know what I mean? Like it just kind of became apparent. And then I don't know if this is a serial killer. I never watched it, but the whole Making a Murderer thing, that was in Wisconsin.
No way. God damn it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But there was only one victim there, so it's
Yeah, so
not
not a serial
serial.
killer. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good at least.
Free Stephen Avery. He didn't do it.
have you ever seen the movie Wisconsin Death Trip? I
No.
watched this years ago. It's like kind of a, it's like a documentary kind of, but it's like very fast paced. Kind of reenactments of events from the, like, I think it was Black River Falls area, actually, the newspaper from the, you know, the turn of the 20th century, so like early 1900s. And it's just like, I don't know, you always think of how we're living in crazy times where people do crazy things, but just like, over 100 years ago, people just doing crazy stuff to you. And I guess it's not technically serial killers there either, but it's just weird stuff happening in Wisconsin specifically.
What do we have any theories on why? I mean, beer isn't good for you, that, you know, like just in general, and we are always like one of the biggest drinking states. That might be a correlation.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there any, like, other than, you know, like dairy and stuff, like, is there any industries that are unique to Wisconsin that, you know, like, oh, it's those dairy cow chemicals leaching into the water? You
Oh.
know what I mean? Like, that would make more sense if we were like lead mining or something like that, but I don't know. Can't think
Wow.
of anything like that.
Well,
Like, are there,
is it statistically like, yes, there's more serial killers in Wisconsin because there's like Jeffrey Dahmer, but then like Ed Gein is super famous, but Ed Gein killed two people. He was just more of like a serial grave robber where he would dig up dead bodies. So like, I don't know. Like, is there really like that many, or it's just we have a couple high profile ones?
yeah, I think we just have the more grislier stuff. That like Ed Gein, people know who Ed Gein is, people know who Dahmer is. And I think that's why they're like, oh, Wisconsin, coincidence, you know? Yeah, I don't think we have any more or any less, really. It's just we have the more prolific ones and it sucks. Is it the winters? I mean, are our winters worse than anyone else, you know? Like, I don't know. It's weird.
I think that maybe because like seasonal depression is a real thing, and it's like Wisconsin's very highly wooded, so like if you live out in the country and you're locked in your house for like months on end in the winter, and the only thing you can do is drink, you kind of go crazy a little bit.
Yeah, they're definitely amongst the worst winters in the country. And I don't know, like I you almost think of like mountainous places as being more isolated, you know, like your the Shining situations, but you know, a lot of places in Wisconsin can be pretty remote.
I don't know. When I think of like a state that would make me kill, it would be like Ohio or something, where there's like, I hate driving through that state. I think that's the one. Ohio? No. Iowa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Iowa.
Fuck Iowa.
Oh.
Yeah, if
Oh.
I was, because at least in Ohio you have potatoes, right?
That's
That
Idaho.
guy, well, anyways, Iowa
Ohio
sucks and I would totally kill in that state. Although
has nothing. Screw Ohio.
exactly. You're like, you can't be a serial killer when you can't find anybody. You got no one to kill. Oh my gosh. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
So I found an interesting correlation between a serial killer and Wisconsin. In 1974, the Green Bay Packers selected a wide receiver from Portland State. I think it was Portland State. Oregon's. Yeah, Portland State. And this guy, his name was Randy Woodfield. He went on to be the I-5 killer or the I-5 bandit in Oregon. And the I-5 goes from California through Oregon to Washington. And he was a serial killer, serial rapist, kidnapper, robber, burglar. And he ended up killing as many as 44 people. And he was drafted by the Packers in 74. He tried to make the team, but he didn't make the team. And there's rumors that like they kind of thought he was weird and they didn't like him and they kind of just kicked him off the team. But there's no like official words, just there's just like the rumors, but you don't know if those rumors were from back in the day or those rumors kind of started after he did all the killing, because his football career didn't pan out. He goes back to Oregon and he's a little disgruntled and pissed off about his football dreams not working out, and then just decides he's going to kill people off the interstate.
holy shit, is there a correlation between football players and killers? Right? OJ, hello?
CTE? CTE, yeah, that's what I was
CTE,
going to
yeah.
say.
Holy shit. Yeah, I don't know. Well, anything else? Segue challenge?
I'd kill for a new topic.
But you would have to kill more than one person to technically be a serial killer. All right, whoever wants to go next.
Can go. I am indifferent to band members who go solo and start their own career. Like, what I don't like about it is just like when you go on a solo career just under your own name, like, you know, your name is the act. I just feel like that's kind of disregarding all the musicians and everyone working around you. You know, making your career happen. And like sometimes like there's a solo artist that they might have the same band forever, but that band has like so little recognition in that case. Or the alternative where like, oh, the rest of the band is just kind of disposable and it's all about the front runner. You know, there's like the big examples where like, you know, sometimes the solo becomes way bigger and long standing than the band ever was. You know, I'm thinking like Justin Timberlake and compared to NSYNC, which was pretty short lived. You know, Bjork, who was in a band called the Sugar Cubes that a lot of people have probably never heard of.
Whoa, I had no clue.
Yeah, exactly. And then trying to think how to label like, you know, like Paul McCartney. Like obviously he's huge, but Nothing he's done is as loved as from the Beatles. And then I don't know, I'm trying to think like where Eric Clapton would fit in. You know, like he's as a name is probably more well known for a solo career stuff, but I like some of the his band stuff better, like
Cream, is that what it
Cream
was?
and like Derek and the Dominoes and that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
And then there's like another type I was thinking of, like Les Claypool, where you know he's most known for Primus, and but all his I don't know if you'd even call him solo stuff, but he does like maybe actually now that I think about it, this might fall into like super groups that we had already discussed, but where he's teaming up with other well-known musicians who are known for different things, and it seems like he just wants to work with people of different styles and stuff. But a lot of times it'll have his name as leading the band, like Les Claypool and the Fearless Flying Frog Brigade and the Les Colonel Claypool's Burning Bucket of or Bucket of Burning Brains or whatever it is, like
Wow.
that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's kind of the main ones I was thinking of. There's also like Frank Zappa, who was with the Mother of Inventions or the Mothers of Invention early on, and then was, you know, solo way longer, probably.
Was he? Oh, I for some reason I thought he was originally Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. No?
Oh, you know, that's a good point. It might have. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if it was ever just the Mothers of Invention or if it was always his name in it.
What else? Like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, right? Like I personally can't tell the difference. It just sounds
Yeah.
like Tom Petty to me, but I could be wrong. Like I've never
Yeah,
given that band a chance. Okay, so I wanted to say Don Henley. So I loved Boys of Summer and I loved Dirty Laundry. I had no idea that he was a name and he was from the Eagles. I had no fucking clue.
yeah.
So I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I finally listened, I finally gave the Eagles a chance and I really liked them a lot. And then Glenn Danzig, yeah, Mother comes on. I'm like, yeah, that's fucking cool. And then I've always heard somewhat of the Misfits, but I had no idea what they were. And then one day they're like, I saw a video of the Misfits, like Glenn Danzig, you know, when he was part of that, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, I had, n it was, my mind was blown. And I love the Misfits. They're like top three favorite bands of all time. It's a new love. Like, maybe. What, last year I think I heard of him. And then let's see, where's oh, Ice Cube and NWA. You know,
Oh,
like
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Ice Cube is bigger than NWA, but I love the idea of all these different talents all together. And yeah, when they go solo and all those studio musicians aren't brought up, but I think it's because oh, for example, Glenn Danzig, he wrote all of the material for those three Misfits albums. So him becoming solo made sense. And that's what I was going to ask you guys. When there's a group, can you tell who's going to be going solo? You know, like is it very obvious? Like for me, I knew Beyoncé was going to be a star, you know, if she were to leave Destiny's Child, even though that was a perfectly popular group, I just knew Beyonce was gonna blow up, you know?
See, I didn't think that at all. I
Oh,
was
shit.
shocked it was Beyoncé. I thought it was going to be the other girl. I don't even
Kelly?
remember her name.
Ke Kelly Rowland?
Yeah, I thought Kelly was the star of the group. And like during the breakup, because this would happen the way, like in wrestling, if you have a tag team, like Edge and Christian, when they break up, you're like, oh, that guy's going to be really popular on his own. But not the other guy. And I always thought Christian would be popular, but then Edge ended up being way more popular. So like, I don't know. I guess I was off on Beyonce because I didn't think she was better looking, but I didn't think she was as talented.
That's what gets you through the door, I guess. The prettier one. I'm trying to think, like, who was Don Henley prettier than everyone else? Anything else about solo stuff? Dave, you gotta
Just
have some. Oh.
to answer your question, like in like rock bands, it's always the lead singer who goes solo. I guess like the Ramones, each of them kind of did their own projects,
Oh,
and I got
really?
the Beatles too, now that I think about it. But for the most part, it's like the lead singer does it and like ditches the band. I don't know. Like that's how it feels to me anyway, but maybe that's not fair.
Oh,
But
you know what?
actually what made me think about it was when you were talking about like Tom York doing his own stuff, like side projects and stuff from Radiohead, and just how, you know, like even if he's like him and Johnny are the creative forces, just them without the rest of the band, you can tell the difference. You know what I mean? Like they're adding something that even if you can't describe what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to give Glenn Danzig's album, Samhain, a listen. And it's just nothing compared to the Misfits. I was like, eh, you know.
That's because it's pronounced Samhain or something
Is
like
it?
that.
I know it's
Yeah.
like
Oh,
it's not Samhain, but he pronounces it that way, I think,
does
right?
he really? Oh, okay.
I
Never mind then.
think. Oh shit. But everyone brings that up. I'm like, well, I don't know. What else? What else? Well, you know what? I want to say Don Henley's a little bit different because the group broke up and he went solo. I
Right,
think
that's
that's
how I was
different.
thinking about the Beatles too. It's like, oh, it wasn't like, well, I mean, to some degree, maybe they wanted to go off and try, you know, see how the world treated them on their own. But for the most part, it was like, oh, the band broke up, so let's just, and we want to keep making music, so let's see what we can do.
I don't know if Jane Wedlin broke up the Go-Go's. She might have left and then they broke up, but she was like, you know, I write songs and I've only been able to sing on one song. Carlisle, Belinda Carlisle, you know, I want to be heard. So she left and her solo career didn't really do so good. And then I think now they don't do it. Anything without each other now, because they're like, ah, Go-Go's, it's a name, it's a brand. People show up for that, you know.
See, that just, for whatever reason, made me think of Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground. And yeah, obviously, he had a long solo career after the Velvet Underground. But there's a story that I'm probably going to butcher the quote or something. But basically, I think John Cale was the lead of the band, the Velvet Underground. And he's like, and Lou Reed says, I'm going to disband the Velvet Underground and start a new band, the Velvet Underground, where I'm the leader. So basically, he was making himself the leader of the band by saying it was like breaking up and reforming.
Wow. Roger Waters, he s fucking scared everyone off. You know, he was such an asshole that, like, he fired the keyboardist and then eventually the drummer quit. He was like, fuck all this. I hate all this fighting. And then, what's his name? David Gilmour, he was like, I don't know. You could keep, like, one song that I wrote, but this is all you. Like, we're leaving. And he's like, fine, I am Pink Floyd and stuff like that. And so now when he does his solo stuff, he just performs Pink Floyd songs. Yeah. I just, I hate Roger Waters. Anything else? Dave, are you gonna go solo and the David Lauer or
No.
something?
No, I will not be making my solo podcast.
Does
That's for sure.
every solo person just go by their name, or do they ever like do something like a whole new name. I guess it's just name.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, usually it's if they're banking off of their them thinking that they're the main attraction to the old band, it's just usually to their name, I think.
Ooh, Rob
Yeah.
Thomas from Matchbox 20. Remember he went solo and he was like all of a sudden poppy and stuff? That was weird.
Yeah.
He had so much potential with Matchbox 20. I don't know. Like I don't know. Like when I was a teenager, I thought they were such a good band. And now looking back, I'm just like, I don't see it at all.
All
right. Well, segue challenge. I think we already did that
I think
where
you did
like asking you.
already, but because Dave is going solo with his next topic.
Oh shit. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll go with my hate. I hate first impressions. So, like, a first impression can be a couple different things. Like when you meet somebody for the first time, like you get like a new coworker and you see that coworker for the first day, and you're like, okay, all right, I think I knew who this kind of person is. And you in your head, you're kind of comparing them to other people you've met in your life, like similar personality traits, and you're like, okay, I think I know who they are. And then there's also like first impressions where you watch a movie for the first time and you're like, ah, this movie sucks. I hate it. But then like you hear other people talking about it and they all talk about how good it was, and you're like, maybe I didn't give it a fair chance. Maybe I'll watch it again. And then you watch it again and you're like, oh, actually, I was wrong. This is a good movie. Or like it's same with like you're listening to music. We're talking about it with Radiohead. The first time I listened to The Bends, I didn't like it. Second time I listened, I didn't like it. Third time I listened, I freaking loved it. And I was like, it just like clicked. And I was just like, man, my first impressions suck, I think. Like, I feel like at least with like music and movies, I don't like my first impression a lot because I know that I bring like my emotion and my mood into it. And if I have like high expectations where I'm like, oh, I'm really excited to see this band. Like when I saw Stained live, I love the band Stained. I was so amped to see them. The most disappointing live performance I'd ever seen. And it sucked. And I haven't listened to them in 3 years now because I was so bummed out by the live performance. And other people said they loved it, and I'm just confused like why people would say they love it because I just thought it was terrible. But I don't know. I feel like with people, I'm way better with first impressions. However, there are people who kind of slip through the cracks because like it depends on their personality type. I think like I am probably that way because I have like the personality of a cat where like at first I am very closed off and I don't show my sense of humor. I am very quiet and I'm very reserved. But then if I get to know you, then I'm just like more outgoing and I'll just act like myself. And like I notice myself doing this, but I still cannot control myself and stop myself from doing it. So I feel like people would have the first impression of me that they don't really care for me or they don't really like me. But also my personality is like, I don't really care what you think of me. So I'm like, I'm not going to change how I am. I am what I am, like whatever. But
Okay, Popeye.
yeah, I am what I am. What is it to you? But how are you guys in your first impressions? Do you guys feel like your first impressions are off or on or
Well, let me ask you this. What was your first impression of me? Both you guys go at the same time.
all right, on three. One, two, three. Indifferent.
Vince, I thought you were like a preppy jock type. Cause you had like black hair to like your ears, and you wore like American Eagle or the Gap or something that you would wear that you would buy from the mall. And I was like, oh, he's kind of preppy. Oh, he thinks he's cool.
That's great. I actually
I'm trying
don't
to remember like
remember.
how I don't even know how I met you other than obviously like randomly in class, or were you already friends with our other friend group? Because
See,
I
that's
came in to high school from the Lutheran school, so like, pretty much everyone except for like six kids were all completely new to me. I remember just thinking you were funny in class and stuff, and that's about all I remember when you bring it up now.
I honestly don't remember the f like in terms for John, I don't really remember that first time. I feel like the earliest I could go by is when we were recording the ca cannibalistic women of the Jungle of Doom or whatever. And I was like, yeah, this is great, because I just remember you mentioning, oh, I have a camera. I'm like, oh, that's great. Let's fucking film something. Like, that's my earliest memory. And Dave, at first, I wasn't sure what to make about you, because I met you right when I met Steph, my future ex-girlfriend. And so I was like, this is Dave and Steph. Like, are you competition? Like, I really wasn't sure how to gauge you, but you seemed chill. And it was like you and did I meet? Oh, I met Jimmy before you. But yeah, I met you, Steph, and Beth at the same night. So I wasn't really sure what your guys' story was at all. So, yeah.
So the dynamic there was that Steph was like a middleman to other friends I like to hang out with. I really liked hanging out with Jimmy. I thought Jimmy was the coolest, and I've known Jimmy since I was a little kid. And Jimmy and I never really like texted or talked, but I think him and Steph or him and Beth did. So like Steph would be like, "Dave, you should come out." And I'd be like, "Eh." And then she'd be like, "Jimmy's gonna be there." And I'd be like, "Okay, I want to hang out with Jimmy. He's cool." And then it was the same with like hanging out with Kristen and Jonathan, where I liked hanging out with them, and Steph would always be like, "Dave, you should come out. We're gonna hang out with Kristen and Jonathan." And I'm like, "Okay, I like hanging out with them." Not to like shit on her, like I wish her well, but it was she was kind of like a friend of mine, but it was like I always liked, then I met you, and then I liked to hang out with you, and then it was she was kind of just there.
Yeah, and she wouldn't go away for the next 10 years. But okay, so I wanted to see first impressions. There was a okay, so I feel like I'm pretty good at gauging people. Sometimes it's very obvious that they don't like me or something. Like, there was this one guy, a friend, like I was hanging out with my friend Jenny, and she's like, oh, you got to meet my friend Kyle. And there he was sitting there, and I was like, hey, I'm Vince. I put out my hand to him, and he looked at the hand and he kind of looked away. I was like, I don't like you. We
That's
will never
cool.
like each other, and we never have, even though Jenny would be like, all right, we're hanging out. I'm like, cool. What is he doing here? Like, it was always just so like, oh God, like we both knew, and she knew that we didn't like each other, but that didn't matter. Like, we're all gonna hang out. And it's just like, oh, what an awkward thing. But going back to Beth, Steph's friend, I was like, I was kind of moderate, looking at both of them, just seeing what they were like. And I wasn't sure, but I knew that Beth was way more colder, like, or she was way more like standoffish and stuff. And I remember once I got with Steph, I'm like, so what's up with your friend Beth? And she's like, oh, she's really nice. She's just shy. She might come off as stuck up, but she's not. No, she was stuck up. Like, she, like, I had to deal with her for the next 10 years as well, So I feel like I'm pretty good at first impressions, but in terms of movies, yeah, I could get it wrong sometimes. Like I mentioned before, Scarface, hated it. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then on my, I don't know, eighth try, I was like, oh, that's cool. But yeah, some things take time. What do you say, John?
I definitely don't trust my first impressions on anything, especially music. Like, most of my favorite albums in the long run, it doesn't click for like the first two or three even listens. Like, it has, and a lot of times you won't give an album that many chances. But like, if I have a friend who I trust their taste in music, and they say like, "No, trust me, this is a really good album," or you just end up listening it to it with them or something, then it finally clicks eventually. Also for people, I just don't necessarily think my first impressions of them are going to be accurate, and I usually, like, if I'm not clicking with someone, I'm not going to write them off or anything. I'll see what happens in the longer term. I also think a lot about first impressions of just like how somebody takes something or perceives something. Like, if you say something to someone and they take it as an insult, and you immediately clear it up. You're like, oh no, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it a different way. Even if they believe you that you didn't mean it as an insult, I think the feeling of being insulted never goes away. So, like, whatever the first impression was, like, if I felt insulted by it, even after they clear it up, I still feel insulted. And I think first impressions are very lasting in that way, that like it you can never completely undo the first impression of something.
Yeah, I agree. I've had like coworkers, like if there's a nurse and they say something and they're just kind of snippy and short and they're not courteous in any way, if you did that one time, but not the next 20, like deep down, I still remember that one time where you were kind of a bitch. And like,
You're on your third
I
date, and you're like, I don't
don't
know.
know.
You're sucking my cock, but I don't know. You are snippy.
And well, I've had like the opposite where I've had like a doctor who's super nice every time, but then one time he's kind of an asshole, and I'm just like, oh, I see the true you now. Like, you're letting it all out. You're not fooling me anymore.
So that's kind of the opposite. Like you're or not necessarily the opposite, but I think you just take the negative as truth, and anything that's positive is like a fluke or a put on.
Perhaps because I'm not an optimist, I'm a realist, and the real world is depressing.
Oh man. Our friend DJ Matty Nice, I remember he told me one day, he's like, you know, Vince, like, you're really quiet when we bring new people. And then, you know, eventually you loosen up, but you should try and be more whatever. And I'm like, oh, I didn't really realize that. But then I think that comes from my trepidation of meeting a new person because it's like, how often is it that they don't like me? You know, so I'm always thinking, like, getting ready for, like, okay, where's this person gonna fall? It's either love or hate, you know? And yeah, it's so odd. So that's why,
Or
if
indifference
anything,
or gray
yeah,
area
I could be a little
or
clammy when I meet someone new because I'm like, are you gonna hurt me or kiss me? What are you gonna do? Like, so that's why I'm quiet, and but I do try my best to make a good impression, although it's like how much personality do you give them? You know, like how long are we going to be interacting? Or is this like a new coworker? Is this someone who's just gonna be here tonight for some drinks or something? You know, it's like how much do you reveal if you know whether or not how long they're gonna be in your life? You know,
Yeah, how much effort do you put in? Like, do I really want to bother trying to connect with this person since they're so disposable? I was thinking in the professional world too, like basically like making your like having your job interview, like you have a resume, you have a job interview, and that's like your first impression to this company. And like I think I'm not good at that, and I kind of got lucky in getting my first job out of college, and then ever since then I've only gotten jobs from people who I already knew, so I didn't have to like worry about those first impressions anymore. And like in fact, when I interviewed even for those jobs with other people I'd be working with who I had not met before, I'd gotten feedback that like, yeah, like they kind of didn't think you knew what you necessarily knew stuff in whatever area. But I told them that you did or whatever, like, just because it's hard for me to connect with people for the first time, I think.
Well, that's a future topic, job interviews, I think. Yeah, that's a whole thing. Segue challenge.
The I didn't know how this topic was going to go at first, but in the end, I thought it was fine.
Underwhelming, that's for sure.
Okay,
Would not recommend.
let's you know what? I want to talk about my indifference, or man, ambivalence, perhaps. Baseball, you know, America's fucking pastime and shit, you know? I think this has always been my like go-to reference to baseball, where it's like, watching it on TV is boring. It's way more exciting to watch it live in person, but it's still boring. It's even better to be playing the sport, yet it is still boring. That whole sport, the fact that it's like, oh, it's what fathers and sons bond over and shit like that, or you know, but it to me it's a snooze fest. I like baseball movies. It's so weird. Like they really kind of they inspired Dave to, you know, try it for the first time with the Sandlot and stuff like that, right? But I don't know. So I'm in Little League, or say I'm middle school, grade school. I don't know. I was pretty young, but we were getting this big team together, and the coach, for some reason, was like, all right, we need three pitchers, you, and you. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. I actually have no interest in it. And they're like, do it. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. And like, he had us do our pitching practices and stuff. And I was okay. I wasn't very good. And I told him that. And I remember we were doing these stupid drills. And he's like, Cloud, if you miss this next one, you're going to do 10 push-ups. And I'm like, okay, but could I just do the 10 push-ups now? I was like, that's not, you know, I didn't use these words, but I wanted to say, like, you're not motivating me at all. I don't care about this sport. You know, it's like it's so dull and whatever. But he's like, no, you're gonna be the pitcher. That sucks, because if you know anything about baseball, it's like the center of attention, right, Dave? Like, would you call that like pretty a pivotal part in the game?
The pitcher?
What?
The pitcher.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
Yeah.
involved in every single play.
That is the quarterback of you're throwing the ball. It's the quarterback of baseball.
I'd rather be a quarterback than the pitcher. It sucked because I was bad. I didn't want to do it, but he like we even got a second coach that replaced him. And that second coach is like, hey, you're a pitcher, right? I'm like, I am a pitcher, or was, but I've been th and he was like, nope, do it. So every time. But anyways, I was so bad. And you know, I would get my strikes, sure, but I hit a lot of players, like right in the arms, head, hip, you know, and eventually people would be scared. They're like, oh my gosh, like that, you know.
Yeah, that's
Like
why you're a good
Leela in
pitcher.
that baseball episode of Futurama.
And we had co-eds. We played co-ed teams, so I hit, like, girls would be like, oh my God.
You're putting the fear in them, you know?
But
That's
I
like,
hated
that's
it.
gonna.
I
But I
hated it,
think the
dude.
coaches saw something in you. They're like, this kid, he has a good attention span, so he's not gonna zone out. We put the kids with bad attention span out in the outfield because they're just like picking dandelions out there. They're like, Vince, he's engaged, he's smart, he can like read a sign on like a fastball or a curveball.
The fun is batting. Like, I didn't mind that. That was thrilling to, like, you know, you got the roster and like this person went, now it's this person, and you knew your place. Like, that was exciting and stuff. And I did okay at batting. But God damn it, did making me a pitcher resent baseball for the longest time. So yeah, what do you guys have to say about baseball?
I think I don't know where I heard this. It might have been from someone on this very podcast, but Like when you said America's pastime, like pastime is the phrase, like you're using it to pass the time. But like I actually like it for that. You know, like baseball is like the one professional sport that I'll go see live a couple times a year
Wow.
just because like it's relatively inexpensive compared to the other sports. You can just like decide that day, like I'm gonna go see a baseball game. There's so many of them. And yeah, you just show up and it's like the fun of being at the ballpark. I think I might have mentioned this earlier, in a different topic about like just knowing like how stuff works behind the scenes, but like my boss, who was super into baseball, telling me about how like they're passing signs back and forth, and like the second ba like if you have a runner on second base, they'll watch the catcher for the sign, and then they'll make a sign to the batter to try and tell the batter what the catcher was signing to the pitcher. Like, I find all that stuff super fascinating. I could definitely imagine a world where I'm a retired man going to every home game and like filling out like the scorecards and stuff, like just as a thing to do as like a ritual or a tradition. On the other hand, like other than the games I've gone to this year, I have not watched a single game on TV or paid any attention to any scores or standings or records or anything like that.
Dave, go for a long one. Is that baseball or football? I don't even know.
That would be football. But
Okay.
yeah, like I like baseball. I used to hate it when I was younger because I just thought it was boring. Like I played it a little bit, you know, when I was, I don't know, fifth grade, sixth grade or something like that. But I was in the outfield. I really like baseball. It like it I started to pay attention to it when I worked like a factory job, and some of my coworkers would listen to the baseball games, the Brewer games on the radio. And I always thought, I'm like, the Brewers suck. Like the Brewers always suck. But then at the time, there was this new young guy named Ryan Braun, who would go on to win like MVP, and he was a really good batter. He like, and it was weird because like the Brewers never had anybody good throughout like all the 90s. Like we were terrible during the 90s. Like back in the early 80s, they were good, but then they fell off for a long time. And then they also had a Prince Fielder at the time, and Prince Fielder, he was this big first baseman. He was just built like a football player. He was built like a tank, but he could just crush the ball and hit home runs. And then the rest of their team was just kind of like a hodgepodge of like guys who's really fast, but he can't hit the ball, or a guy who can hit the ball really far, but he's like lanky and awkward and like 6'6" and like doesn't really have a true position. And I don't know, they just had like this ragtag team of guys, and it made me kind of appreciate baseball a little bit, but I have tons of complaints about baseball just because of how like Major League Baseball works. It's like the big teams have, there's no salary cap. So big teams like the Yankees in New York or the Los Angeles Dodgers, they have unlimited amounts of money basically where they can just sign all the best players. And then there's teams like Minnesota, Milwaukee, Kansas City, all these Midwest teams that are just like struggling to make a team and like, oh, our payroll is like 150 million, but like the Yankees payroll is 450 million, and you're like, we got a third of the payroll, but you're trying to compete with these other big markets, and I don't like that aspect. I don't like the fact that it's hard to watch the games. You have to have like MLB like season pass or something, which costs like $200 or something. Or you have to have satellite TV, and you have to have like the local sports affiliate, which is like an add-on package. So your base package of satellite plus like an extra $20 or $25 on top of that. And then just to watch the games. And it's The one good thing about baseball is listening on the radio. If it's local, it's nice to listen on the radio because if you're working a job and you can listen to a baseball game, especially if you're a Brewers fan, because they have Bob
Yeah, I
Uecker.
was gonna say Bob Uecker is a national treasure.
Yeah, he's one of the all-time great baseball announcers, and he's still doing it. He's like 87 years old. I
Whoa.
don't, it's insane. He might be like 90 at this point. But yeah, I like baseball. There's definitely things to complain about, but I would still rank it above hockey. I would rank it above golf. I would rank it above basketball. I think it's football is number one. Two would be like MMA. And then for like a team sport, I still think baseball is really good if it's like playoff baseball and it's, when the game really matters. And there's something about the ballpark. Like John was saying, going to the game is fun. If you're in there in the stadium, there's something, especially like Minnesota has a beautiful stadium. Like Milwaukee has a terrible stadium. Like go to the one in the Twin Cities. It's amazing. It's outdoors and it's just fun. You can look at the skyline and you can just eat a hot dog and it's just beautiful there.
What does Oklahoma have? Do they have a baseball team?
No professional. They have lots of like not semi-pro but like minor league baseball. There's like the Tulsa Drillers or the Tulsa Oilers. They have different like minor league teams here. But for like pro, everybody roots basically for the Kansas City Royals.
In terms of playing those sports, I'd rather play baseball than basketball. Basketball is running like from side court to the other side, like all the time. And like I can do it. Like, see, that's the whole thing about a lot of these sports. I could physically do them, I could hang, but it depends if they're entertaining to me, if they're exciting. And baseball is not that, but it's definitely better than basketball. Basketball, I'm like, I just ran to that side of the court and I got to do it again. It's annoying.
Excuse me, I only do offense.
Yeah. What are you, Bill Murray?
Yeah, like basketball, you just it's a lot of shooting the ball and hoping that it goes in. And then or you have to be a crazy good athlete like LeBron James. With baseball, there's lots of like John was saying, like a game within a game where there's like you're trying to play situational baseball and there's weird little strategies to it where you're like, oh, can we put in a pinch runner here in this situation? We know that this pitcher is good at this pitch, so we're gonna try and get him to throw that other pitch, and you're just playing little mind games with each other, and then there's always like the little elements of cheating in baseball that are kind of awesome, and to be a part of the game where the pitcher is putting some grease on his fingers to get like some pine tar or something to throw the get more spin on his curveball or fastball, or they're trying to steal signs and stuff like that. There's like those weird little elements to it that kind of make it entertaining.
Oh, that was another aspect that was nerve-wracking because they're like, oh, this guy's gonna try and steal the base. So you gotta like your peripheral is always open. Like it's insane how much stress I felt during those days where I'm like, I thought I'm supposed to be a kid living life and like playing a sport that he loves, but that was not the case. Oh my God, I'm so
You're at
lucky.
home watching like the film reels of the other local teams and getting their strategies.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Anything else? Segue challenge? Oh, we should do signals to sign the what does he do? A tug at the ear.
I think that's our third strike on this one.
All right, go ahead, John.
All right. I'll use my mystery topic here. I don't know if there's much to it, but see what you guys think. I find it weird, and this seems to be a somewhat recent phenomenon, like since in this millennium of like there's just more and more events that we refer to by the calendar date that they happened on. So like 9/11 probably being the biggest one,
Classic.
January 6th, and then October 7th when the Hamas invaded Israel, like they went into that the military, like where all the families and stuff lived. Like, why is this happening? And are we gonna like run out of dates? Like I'm just imagining like 50 years from now, like everyone will be like, oh yeah, that because of May 12th, we aren't gonna have this event, and like just like every date will mean something different, and everyone will just know what they mean. But it's just like a weird thing. Like I don't think it used to be that date. I mean, like in the Pearl Harbor speech, they talk about like this is the day that will live in infamy, but they don't refer to it by that date.
What was
And
that
there's
date
like
again? I don't remember.
December 7th, maybe. No, I'm
Yeah,
curious now, but
it was like it's the first week of December, but I'm not entirely sure.
yeah. Anyways, like, yeah, there was like, V Day and D Day, like these World War II things, but they're not like April 12th. Like, I
Is
don't
that the
know.
right date?
No,
I'm just curious
but
now. Like I'm
yeah,
really
no, I don't
curious.
know. Yeah,
Like Oklahoma City bombing. I was gonna make a tasteless joke about that, like as a baseball name for the Bombers. But like when did that happen, you know?
so Pearl Harbor was December 7th.
Okay.
Oklahoma City bombing was April 19th.
April 19th.
I think didn't Columbine happened on like April 22nd or something.
Oh, wow.
But nobody calls it April 22nd.
Right,
They
yeah,
just
exactly.
called it Columbine, the name of the
Yeah.
high school. There
Whoa.
was like I don't remember like when Trump was like when he was doing the thing in Butler, Pennsylvania and almost assassinated, there was like a lot of people would I don't remember the date, if it was like July 13th or something or whatever the date was, people were like talking and I would see it like written down and I'm like, what date is that? And I had to look it up because I'm just like, oh, okay. And I'm like, it's I don't know. I swear like people are trying to like just give things like a date because they're like, it's so significant, you'll know it by the date. Where it's like, I think with 9/11 that applies, with everything else, I don't know. I would prefer something like V-Day or D-Day or some kind of nickname. I'm fine with that. But yeah, just calling it by the date, it's kind of stupid.
The only other big one I can really think of is like the 4th of July. But even then, like that's Independence Day. You know what I mean? Like, but I mean, people do call it like, oh, what are you doing for the 4th of July? And I guess there's Cinco de Mayo, which is kind of a similar
What is it
concept.
again? May 5th?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then what happens if aliens show up and they talk to us humans for the first time on 9/11?
Right, exactly. Like, can you guys come back tomorrow?
Yeah. Kind of had some big shit happen on 9/11. You're gonna have to come back next
This day's
week.
taken.
I've always felt that way. Like, if I have a patient and I look at their birthday and I see that it was on 9/11, I always look at like what year they were born in, because like, okay, they were born in like 9/11 in 1971. And I'm like, all right, they had 30 years of their life where their birthday was just a normal day.
Oh man.
And then all of a sudden, their birthday is now freaking the terrorist attack. And it's just like, man, your birthday, I feel like it's just tainted the rest of your life.
And that is the worst part of the 9/11 attacks.
Yeah. Not only did they turn 30, but now their birthday means nothing.
Oh man.
Or is anybody's wedding anniversary 9/11 after that? Like,
Yeah, really.
yeah, I think my wedding anniversary is September 22nd. So I was like, well, okay, it's not in the teens, so that's good.
John, do you know your wedding date?
I sure do.
All right. Right,
Meanwhile, I'm in my head like, I think it was a 22nd one. Maybe it was a 23rd.
I think I'm worse with dates than I am with names. I think names I can handle, but dates, yeah, like do we call it something else? January 6th insurrection, or just call it something, give it a catchier name.
Yeah, I like giving it like, remember how like WWF pay-per-views had a name
Yeah.
where, it's, oh, it's, they had Insurrection or Unforgiven or Judgment Day. Like
No
everything
way
had like
out. Yeah.
in your house.
Well, UFC, same thing with UFC. They used to have like Revenge or something like that. Now it's just like UFC 205. Like, that doesn't mean anything to me. Yeah.
Yeah, they had the one at the bubble or whatever they call it, the
Spear.
sphere. Yeah, they called it like Dos something, I don't know. It was some Spanish name. It was like Noche Dos something.
Yeah,
And I
yeah.
was like, oh, I'm like, if they start giving them names, that would be awesome. But I don't know. Just come. They need like, when there's a hurricane. You have like a new name, like the name generator, where you're like, oh, it's Hurricane Gwen. Okay. And just, we need that for like terrorist events or big news days.
Terrorist event Gwen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would help keep track of all the shootings they
Yeah.
have. Oh my God, horrible. This is grim. Oh, what if when we were born, we were given dates? Like, hey, hi, October 3rd. I mean, I'm October 3rd. What's your name? Date.
I mean, my porno name is a date because it's your middle name and the street you grew up on. And my middle name is August, and the street I grew up on was Highway 10. So, August 10.
August 10.
Oh,
All right,
mine is. Oh, no, we gotta do our porn names now. I'm James Holman.
what is it again? Middle name and first street?
Yeah, street you name of the street you grew up on.
Hi, I'm Dean Starr. Avenue,
All
I
right.
guess.
Not bad, not bad.
Dean Starr's breakfast sausage. All right, should we go segue challenge?
Yes, not to date this podcast, but we will remember January 14th forever. That's the day this segue happened.
Ahead, Dave, with the closer.
I'm gonna do my indifference. I'm indifferent to Cheech and Chong.
I think I know why, but go ahead.
Like, I remember like when I was a kid, Cheech and Chong was like this weed smoking thing, but like my parents like they didn't let me watch it. It was kind of forbidden because it was weed smoking and they're doing drugs and that's wrong and that's bad. So like I was never able to watch it until like I was in my it was probably in high school sometime or and then more after high school, like then I started to smoke some weed myself when I used to. And then I watched a lot more Cheech and Chong, and it just like fell flat. And I just didn't care for it. I didn't think the movie, like, their famous movies are like Up in Smoke and Still Smokin'. And they're just a comedy duo that I think they did stand up comedy. I've never seen any of their stand up, but they did like movies together. And it's all just weed comedy. But I never found them actually like funny. It was like the joke in all of the scenes was that they were high. That was the joke. And they would just like go about their day and they're just confused at what's happening because they're high. But like there was no like good writing to it. Like I feel like comedies, like if you watch like Pineapple Express, like a more modern stoner comedy, there's actually funny writing and like funny stuff in it. Where like Cheech and Chong, like I feel like both guys are genuinely funny to hang out with probably, but like it just I never felt like it came across in their movies very well. I thought they were just kind of, it's fine that they're low budget, but like I feel like there was no time put into the script. I feel like they just like showed up on set, thought they would just roll a blunt, smoke it, and the funny stuff will come to them. But I don't feel like it ever did come to them, and I feel like everything, I feel like they probably recorded like 15 hours for a movie, and then they're like, we'll pick out the funny stuff. And then in the editing room, they're like, shit, man, we got nothing to work with. I don't know. What do you guys think of Cheech and Chong?
Dave's not here, man.
Ever heard that one before, Dave? Ever?
No.
Yeah,
Are you being serious?
don't know. What are you talking about?
What? It's like one of their greatest sketches. Oh my gosh. It's so awesome.
I
Wow.
literally thought that this was like the crux of the issue, that people would meet you, know that your name is Dave, and then do the Dave's not here thing
I've
to
never heard that in my life.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love
Is this like a stand-up that like a skit they did on stage?
it. Yeah, it was like their first skit on their first comedy album. Yeah. And Cheech just like he's like knocking on the door, he's like, hey man, open up, man. It's me, Dave. I got the stuff. He's like, Dave? Yeah, man. I think the police saw me. Open the door, I got the stuff. Dave's not here. That's the whole thing. But like you got the I love Cheech's manic ways he could be it kind of reminds me of like a Ren and Stimpy type of dynamic because you have Chong who's like hey man like just fucking brain dead as all hell but like I love his voice there's also the terrific sketch slash song Earache My Eye. Have you ever heard of that one?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, I love Earache My Eye. It's like Cheech trying to get Tommy Chong to go to school and stuff, and it's just this great comedy routine. You know what? I need to check out more of their stuff. I do like Up in Smoke. I know that it's not solid. Like it's not. It's to me, it's a classic, but I understand why. It didn't resonate with everyone, but I watched those when I didn't smoke weed, and I liked, again, I liked Cheech a lot. Like I've probably seen a lot of his stuff. He was in fucking Nash Bridges for years, and like Tin Cup and stuff like that.
I was
Lion
about to say,
King.
yeah, like Cheech, especially, I think, shows up in just random stuff and is usually pretty good in it, and pretty funny. I n never got super into the Cheech and Chong stuff either, though, I guess. I think I had seen Up in Smoke, and I remember thinking it was funny back in the day, but just never, for whatever reason, got into them at all.
I also have to throw out, like, just, kind of cool to see someone who, nothing against the white people, but, like, there was a bit of representation there where it's like, hey, they kind of look like me a little bit and they're in a movie and they're funny and stuff. So that was different. And I really appreciated that when I was a kid. Did you like Chong in the 70s show? Wasn't he a reoccurring thing?
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah,
that's right. I forgot about that.
I remember that. Like, that's what kind of got me into watching Cheech and Chong is because it
Oh.
was, I remember, like, oh, that's Chong. Okay. I'm like, he's in Cheech and Chong. And, like, he smokes weed on that 70s show. He's like the old stoner dude. And I was like, I actually felt like, I'm like, he's funnier on that 70s show when he has better writing than he did in, like, the movies that I saw. I just, and, I like in the Cheech and Chong movies, I thought Chong was like a super letdown because it seemed like Cheech was the better of the two, and he was doing like all the heavy lifting, where it was like kind of like a Beavis and Butthead, where it's like Beavis, I felt like Beavis was the star, that Butthead was just there.
That's awesome.
If they were to go solo, like who would become more successful?
Oh man. That's tough. Yeah, I like that like yeah, I want to check out more of their stuff. I think their skits, Dave. Check out their like Earache My Eye is so good because Cheech is the manic one. Again, Ren and Stimpy, it's very like he's the one that gets wound up. He's more versatile with his acting, whereas Chong is always going to play like that sort of guy. But to me it works. Yeah, I would love to. I wish we could form a sketch group or something, guys. Oh my gosh. But we have this podcast, so that's fine.
Maybe you should go solo and make one.
Maybe I will.
Oh
Actually,
my gosh.
I hate podcasting by myself. It is the worst.
I thought you were going to say, maybe I will. This has been a few Goldilocks bears. I was
And
Vincent Cloud.
I will always be Vincent Cloud.
It's got the lead singer syndrome.
Yeah, man. Ah, shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, the up in smoke thing though, like where it's like what are we smoking here? It's like mostly Maui Wowie, but it's got a little bit of Labrador in it. It's like, what's Labrador? It's like my dog ate my stash and I had to follow it for 3 days with a little baggie just to get it back. It really blew the dog's mind. It's, I don't know, maybe it is specifically stoner comedy, but like I said, I liked it when I was a kid. I don't know. Maybe I was a dumb kid.
That impression reminds me of this video of Matt Damon doing an impression of Jack Nicholson.
Have no idea if that's a insult or a compliment.
No, it's I'm gonna send you the video. I'll send it to you. It's so good. It's they're talking about The Departed, and he's doing an impression of Jack Nicholson. You're like, but if you keep the cameras rolling, she'll fall over, and I'll say she fell funny, and that's the scene. But if you keep the camera rolling, and then he just goes on and on and on for like 5 minutes. It's so funny.
That's awesome. DiCaprio has a similar thing where he's telling a story about him in The Departed, and he does a pretty good impression as well. Yeah. That's awesome. Anything else about Cheech and Chong? Should we go up in smoke?
Yeah, light 'em if you
Only
got
metaphorically.
Yes. I get tested at work.
Yeah,
All right, well, that was the show then. Go to a few GoldilockBears.com and tell your friends. Share this shit. I was Fitz the Cloud.
subscribe in your favorite podcast player. Leave us a rating and review. I was John Nemitz.
And I was David Lauer. Thank you for listening.